night is Monday night, November the 9th, or Chof Gimel Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masechet Sukkah, the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. On the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. O Shahayu Anavav Merubin. The Mishnah made a statement that if you have a hadas whose berries exceed the number of leaves, it's possible. Amar Achizda, Dover Ze, Rabbeinu Hagadol Amro, the following statement was stated by, Rashi says it's Rav, but it's probably Rebbe. What does Dagor Sabach say? Rav. Okay, fine. It's that Rav said, Hamakom Yeh Be'azro, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help him, Lo Shanu Ela B'makom Echad. This halacha, where you have berries exceeding leaves, is only if the berries are clustered in one location. Avo shnayim u'shloshim makomos kosher. But if the berries are spread out over two or three different locations, under those circumstances, it's acceptable. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, shnayim u'shloshim makomos have a minumar u'pasul. If it's spread out over two or three different locations, it's spotted. Nomer, like a leopard, spotted. And that in itself is a psul, as we've seen elsewhere, in relationship to the esrog, which also has a psul, as we will learn on Daf Lamed Daled Amid Beis, a psul of discoloration. And if it's located in one area, it might be acceptable, but if it's in several areas, it's considered spotted, and that in itself is a deficiency. So how could you possibly justify that in this case, if the berries are spread all over the place, then it's okay. But if they're located in one area, then it's good. So, Ella, Itmar, Hachi Itmar. If you wanted to quote this halacha in the name of Rav, this is the way you should quote it. O Shahayu Anavav Mirubin Me'alav Psul. Possible. Amar Rav Chisda, Dover Ze Rabbeinu Hagadol Amro, V'hamakom Yer Be'azro, Loi Shanu Ela Anavav Shchoros. When do we say that the berries would disqualify the hadas if they exceed the leaves? That's only if the berries are black. Aval Anavav Yerukos, but if what? If they are green, Mine the hadasu the kasher. Then it looks like the hadas and it's kasher. Mine the hadasu and it's kasher. That's what the Gemara states. And then we'll continue with the Gemara in a second. In 1 second. So, from the flow of the Gemara, simply from thus by the flow of the Gemara, what would you say is the psul that we are discussing here? What is the nature of the psul if you have more berries than leaves? What's the nature of the psul? Okay, the lack of hada. That's what I would say. And certainly the equation to minumar undoubtedly is what is a halach and hada. There's no doubt about. Yet, look at the last line we just read. Aval anavav yerukos, but if they are green berries, mine dehadasu v'kasher. Mine dehadasu v'kasher. So don't look at Rashi yet. Do not look at Rashi. Just what impression might have been generated simply by reading those words? That it's a different, right. The problem with the blackberries was that's not a hadas. But if they abrim, that's minei dehadas. In which case, the psul that the Gemara is identifying and addressing has nothing to do with hadar. The psul that we're identifying is what constitutes the correct species to fulfill the mitzvah. Namely, if it has blackberries, that can't be okay. If it has green berries, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah?
Maybe the mean is talking about color, it's the color, it maintains the same color as the rest of the house.
Good, that's what Rashi says. Take a little Rashi, he says exactly what you're saying. Minei dehadas ninu, so interprets Rashi, so we should not make that mistake. Shemar ehen shovelo. Green berries looks like what? Green leaves. The leaves on a hadas are green. Therefore, the eno nire minumar. It doesn't look pocked and spotted because they're all the same color. As a result, under those circumstances, it makes no difference under those circumstances if the berries outnumber the leaves. Because he's commenting on the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, when do we say that if berries outnumber the leaves, that the hadas is possible? Only if the berries are black. But if the berries are green, I don't care how many berries there are. Because since the whole issue was a question of hadar, if they're all green, who cares? Yeah.
In the case it's an issue of min, because otherwise you wouldn't have capability to reduce that in the Mishnah of Kasher.
That is correct. That's also a good point. That's correct.
And also, yep. A flow doesn't fit in the first part. I mean, just that one word is the only word that throws you off. Everything else goes the other direction.
I'm aware of that. I know. But I just wanted to tell you that's exactly what Rashi is adding, clarifying. He's alerting you to Shemar Ehen Shavelo. So I'm saying, I'm not making a federal case out of it. It's a state case, not a federal case. Now, Tosfos claims that there are various versions of the text that added a key word in the original dialogue. So if you'll turn back to the page for a second. Amar Rav Chista, Dovazer, Rabbeinu Agadol, Amakim Yev Rezoh. Lo shanu ela b'makom echad, avol b'shnayim v'shloshim mekomos kosher. Omer le'Rava says Tosfos adarabba. There are some texts that say adarabba. Quite the contrary. So what does that one word add in terms of the debate between Rava and Rav Chista? What does that one word add, whether you say Adarava or not? What does that one word add? See, the way we read it, Rav Chista made the statement that if it's in one location, it's what? It's kosher. But two or three mekomos, excuse me, if it's in one location, it's possible. But if it's in two or three locations, it's what? It's kosher. So now Rav attacks and says, well, that makes no sense. Two and three happens to be what? Possible. So what exactly is he arguing on? Is he arguing on the first statement of Rav Chista? Or only the second statement of Rav Chista? The way our text reads, claims Tosfos, Rava is in full harmony and agreement with Rav Chista that if the what? If the berries are in what? One location, it happens to be what? Possible. The only thing which he attacked Rav Chista was, Rav Chista said that if they are in two or three locations, they are kosher. Comes along Rava and says, that makes no sense. It's certainly possible if what? If it's in two or three locations. Certainly disqualified. So the attack of Rava is limited only to the second halacha which Rav Chista articulated. Namely, that if the berries are spread over two or three locations, Rav Chista said it's kosher, Rava said that makes no sense and it's possible. But if they are in one location, then under those circumstances, Rav and Rav Chista will shake hands. It's perfectly okay. But if you hold that the word Adurava is inserted in the text, then he is arguing on both cases. Adurava means punkapaye. It's just the opposite. When they're spread out over what? Three locations, two or three locations, it's possible. But when it's spread, when it's limited to what? To only one location, then it's kosher. Because it's not spotted. It's not spotted at all if it's limited to one location. When you have, like if you have one blemish, you know, it doesn't look like you have poison ivy, you have a rash, but you don't have poison ivy if it's not spread all over the place. So here too, so Tosfos claims that there are some who claim within the text that the word Adarabba should be inserted, in which case Rava is attacking Rav Chista on both points. Not only is two and three definitely not kosher, but one is definitely okay. That's the difference whether that word is included in the text or not.
How does it learn the second half then?
So now he reinterprets it. Amar Rav Chista, no, the second half, Rav didn't pop up and say anything. So it has nothing to do with location. It's the Rav Chista's statement was only in terms of color. If it's black, it's possible. If it's green, no matter how many locations, there's a consistency. One or two locations. The only criteria is the color of the berries. Now comes a very difficult statement. It's simple to translate. And the Goan in Shulchan Aruch and hundreds of other Achrayim, but the Goan says it crystal clear, says, I just don't understand what this Gemara is talking about. Let's read the next two lines. Amar Papa Adumos Kishoros Damian. Red berries are treated like blackberries. Why? The Amar Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina said, "Hai dam shachar, adam hu elishalaka." This is Allah and Hilchos Nida, that when you have a question about marot for dam, so we know that dam is red. So what happens if you find a mara where it's black? So Rav Chista said, "Black is really red." But as a result of being exposed to what? Time, environment, whatever it is, air, it became black. Very nice. Excellent. Therefore, red is possible because red and black are the same color.
It's like backwards.
First of all, it's backwards, but ask the more powerful question.
Who cares what color it is?
Say it sharp.
Any color is a problem.
That's the question. It's not green. The Gemara made a statement and said, the only types of berries that are acceptable are green berries. Why are green berries acceptable? Based on the fact that they look like the leaves. So there is no lack of hadar when it happens to be green berries. So, even kids in a kindergarten know that if you ask them to color with what? A green crayon, black is not green, and red is not green. Who cares whether halakhically red and black equal the same eventually? Who cares? But let's assume this halakha didn't exist. That for Hilchos Nida purposes, red would become, is dam. And black is something else, some other, who cares? What's make a difference? This halacha is not in relationship to saying that red is okay, that you now have to talk about establishing. If the only soul was red, then you have an important to know that black is really red. But here the criteria is green is okay. Anything else, presumably, is not okay. So if we eliminated black, why wouldn't we eliminate red? Red is, red is just as bad as yellow. It's just as bad as brown. It's all the same. Purple. Who cares what color the berries are? As long as they're not green, it's not hadar. So the Gaon asks, Lama li taima de Rav Chanina? Who needs Rav Chanina? He says this in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch when the Mechaber quotes this. Lama li taima de Rav Chanina? Who needs it? And he tries to say something very difficult.
Unless for some reason the Gemara is assuming that black has some sort of better status as being non-heated.
And red looks good.
The what?
Other things look good. Because black has a special status of non-heated. So therefore it's ugly. As opposed to another, so if not for the fact that you made this comparison, red would be okay.
How would you have formulated Rav Chista's statement, the name of Rav? Loishanu, fourth line. How would you have written it? Loishanu, Ella, Anavav Shchoros. Ava, Anavav Yerukos, Minidanus. What would you have written?
Because
the way you're interpreting it. I would say, Avo Sha'ar, Tzvaim Kasher. That's not the Yerukos.
Maybe they argue.
What?
Here's what they're talking about. It's either black or green. Now we're bringing a third possibility. At that point, he was saying it's only if it's black, but if it's green, which is the only other alternative, that would be fine. Now that Mari's bringing it in.
It's a National Geographic discovery. Oh, there are such things as red berries on there too, right?
Well, there's an additional.
Perhaps. Okay. It's possible. Okay.
Maybe they argue.
Yes.
According to Rav Chista, it has to be green, but according to Rav Papa, he would assume that it looks nice, but I'm telling you that red is not nice.
Based on the halacha that it eventually turns into black, that's going to determine the beauty of it.
Is it possible that because the berries, when the berries are green, they aren't berries yet, they aren't a fruit. When they get colored, whether red or darkened to dark red or black or something like that, then it's a full berry. It's a fruit. It's not. It's no longer leaves.
Okay. Does anybody want to just use what I suggested 5 seconds ago, and tell me why this would make sense? Tell me what I suggested 5 seconds ago. So everybody attacked. I said I'm not making a federal case out of. But tell me if you think along those lines, how Rav Chanina makes a lot of sense. Rav Papa. But now established by Rav Chanina. Supported by Rav Chanina. If you wanted to say what? That what is the issue which he is addressing? Correct. Not Hadar. He's addressing the Min. Therefore, what did he say? He said, if it has black grapes, that's not the Min. Okay, that's not the Min. So if it has green, it's okay. So the inference would be, if it's got any other color, it's okay. So what is Rav Papa now in? What's Rav Papa now in with support of Rav Chanina?
That red or not red?
Correct. Namely, I just gave you the rule that in order to disqualify this as a hadas, if it has a black berry, it's no good. The inference would be that any other color is fine, because only black disqualifies it. Comes along Rav Papa and he says, yeah, yellow will be good, purple will be good, green of course will be good, but red will not be good. Red is not black. Comes along Rav Chanina and he says, no, red is black. It's eventually going to turn black with the exposure to air. Therefore, what status does it already have What is it going to indicate? When you see a black berry on a hagos, you know that's not the ring. Therefore, Rav Papa is telling us, you don't have to wait until it turns black. I'm telling you that it's first going to look red. Then it will turn black. Therefore, I know that support happens to be from what? From, that support happens to come from Rav Hanina's halacha in relationship to Dan. That's how several achronim try to answer the question. In other words, what the Gemara did with the repetition and reformulation of Rav Chisna's halacha in the name of Rav was not just reformulate his din, but change the entire perspective. Up until now, the only discussion of Rav Chisna's din was what? That it was a din in Hadar. Therefore, how many locations was important? Did it look like a spotted menumar or not? No. Elom Rav Chisna, no. I'm changing it. Rav never communicated the halacha in relationship to what? To Hadar. He communicated the halacha what constitutes the min of Hadas. What type of anaf eight avos is acceptable. He tells us if the berry happens to be a black berry, that is not the type of hadas which the Torah requires, which the Torah will allow you to use. Consequently, Rav Papa makes a lot of sense. I'm telling you, you don't have to wait until it gets black. Red will turn black. Therefore, if it's red, you know for a fact, this is not the min hadas. How do I know that red equals black? That he proves via Rav Hanina with the halach of dam shalaka. So that makes some sense. In which case, the Gemara turned around what Rav Chisna was talking about. Yeah?
Is it possible that the berries always go through three stages, green, red, and then black? They grow through three stages, in which case they do the first stage more than the other parts of the tree, and then Rav Chisna comes to determine the intermediate case?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
In other words, once the green
is already
berry becomes ripe,
red, right? Yeah.
It turns a color. It doesn't matter whether it's black, red, yellow.
Also, but then why does he say black is no good?
That's the last color.
Because that's generally the
right.
So in each case, if it's black, it's no good.
It's still immature, right?
Not really ripe yet.
It's not really ripe.
Okay. Perhaps. Good suggestion.
No, and then tell me the red is black, then any other color would be
right.
In the middle ground. Specifically
right. Okay. So think about it. Just making two suggestions. Okay. That was not difficult. Now we start very, very interesting Gemara, especially the latter half of this Amud, which will get to the plucking on Yontif. Plucking the on Yontif, and whether it's Mutter L'Chatril, not Mutter L'Chatril, and so on and so forth. Says the Mishnah, Im Miyaton Kosher. If you eliminated the number of berries, if you eliminate the berries, then it's kasha. Says the Gemara. Dimimatinu emas. When exactly did you cut off these berries that exceeded the leaves? When did you cut them off? Ilema delikame delaagde. If you would like to suggest that he cut the berries before he placed the hadas into the aguda, pshita, sapushit. Well, of course it's okay. Why is it okay? Because, why shouldn't it be? You've corrected the problem before anything got started. Ela lebasa de la'agde. Must be that the case is talking about in the Mishnah, the chidush of the Mishnah is that first he put the hadas into the aguda, and then what did he do? He reduced the number of berries. Says the Gemara, that's bichui me'ikara. Tifshot mina that dichui me ikara lo heve dichui. Let us conclude from here that dichui me ikara lo heve dichui. So now, I mentioned this as quickly last week. I just have to elaborate and explain the two different types of dichui. If you remember on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara raised the question, can we borrow a term used by Kutchin and apply it to a mitzvah? That if you have a situation whereby the korban was pasul, and the reason for its disqualification is no longer in existence, can the korban become kasher or not? The answer is no. A korban, once rejected, is rejected. Dachui. The question was, does that halacha apply to a mitzvah or not? That if you have an article with which you want to perform a mitzvah, and it is rejected for one reason or another, if the reason for its rejection is removed, can the item become mutter or not? So now I have to remind you and elaborate, just explain, the two different types of dichui that exists by korban, because the Gemara is not claiming to resolve both of them, only one of them. Only one of them. By mitzvos only. We are going to resolve one of them, and we're going to explain why in a second, but first the terminology. Let me illustrate both cases in relationship to the korban. The first case is dochui me'ikara, meaning the mizbeach was damaged. The mizbeach was damaged. The kohen, without thinking, put the korban on the mizbeach. As soon as he puts it on, the animal is disqualified. Because you cannot be makriv that korban. You can't be zayrek the dam. You can't sprinkle the blood of that korban. Because the mizbeach is pasul. Then they fix the mizbeach. So there's nothing wrong with the mizbeach anymore. Too bad. That's dochui me'ikara. Because the minute the korban was eligible to be sprinkled or on the mizbeach, it was already disqualified. A second case is a different case. It's called nir'eh v'nidcheh v'nir'eh. It was suitable, it became disqualified, and became suitable once again. So the case is, the kohen puts the korban on the mizbeach when the mizbeach is whole. Nothing's wrong with it. Then something happened to the mizbeach, it was chipped. So first it was nir'eh, suitable to be burnt. Then it was chipped. It's disqualified. The mason came in and repaired the mizbeach. It's now nidche. By korban, we will never entertain the possibility that category A is kosher and category B is pasul, or category B is pasul and category A is kosher. We never do. Once you establish the halacha, the dichui is a psul by korban, there are never going to be any differences between dichui me'ikara when the mizbeach was initially disqualified, or if the mizbeach was initially fine, then it became disqualified, then it was repaired. We're not going to. The only time that we are going to entertain the possibility is in relationship to mitzvahs. By a mitzvah, I might want to be able to conclude from our Gemara that if it's dochui me'ikara, dochui me'ikara, under those circumstances, it's still good. It's possible that it's still good later on. But I will not be able to resolve from that case where it's nireh, v'nidcheh, v'nireh. I will not be able to resolve from this case. This case will only possibly, potentially resolve the following case. What happened? There were more berries on the Haggadah. And it is before Yom Tov. So before Yom Tov starts, what happened to this Haggadah as soon as it was placed into the Aguda? What happened? It's already disqualified right away. Right away. Now I go snippy snippy. Now I go snippy snippy. And I want to be machshir what? The hadas. So my question is, under those circumstances, I might be able to entertain the halacha that what? That it's okay. It's okay. However, if it was nireh, v'nipcha, v'nireh, how would that happen? Very strange. Strange looking hadas. I put the hadas in, and it's got, let's say, the exact number of berries as leaves. Okay? After I put it in, another berry bloomed. Another berry came out. What? Or a leaf fell off. Good. Or a leaf fell off. That's an easier case. Now, there are more berries than leaves. Then what do? I cut off some berries. Now I want to what? Recreate the kashrus of this hadas. The Gemara will never entertain the possibility. If we were to apply the concept of dichui to a mitzvah, the Gemara has no hava amina to claim that that second case would be okay. The only case which the Gemara is attempting to resolve is if it's dochui me'ikar. That's the only case where it's dochui me'ikar. Whereas by korban, I make no such pretension. That if the psul of dichui, and it does, apply to korban, it's disqualified in both cases. Whether the korban was put on the mizbeach when the mizbeach was already disqualified, or whether the korban was put on the mizbeach and it was fine, then it became disqualified, then it was repaired. Makes no difference. So the question is, why might there be a difference by a mitzvah where I am willing to accept case A but reject case B, when by korban I must necessarily be consistent? I will never entertain. And the difference is very simple. In relationship to a mitzvah, Rabotai, in relationship to a mitzvah, let's operate with the assumption that when does an article of a mitzvah become a mitzvah? When does an article of a mitzvah become a mitzvah? So let's operate simply when the yontif arrives. So even if I put it in the aguda before yontov, what became possible, quote unquote, by having more berries? What became possible? A piece of wood. A piece of wood had more berries than leaves. Why did I call it a piece of wood? Because what is it not yet? What is it not yet? It's not a hadas shel mitzvah. When does it become a hadas shel mitzvah? The yontif arrives. Therefore, I am inclined to say that that type of dichui by a hadas works, where the rejection of the hadas preceded its arrival, the arrival of its status as a legal hadas mitzvah. But if what? It was already a hadas shel mitzvah, namely Yom Tov came, and then a couple of leaves fell off, and then I reduce the number of berries so that the leaves exceed the number of berries. That's no good. Because indeed, under those circumstances, this was a hadas that was disqualified. And if we apply the concept of dichui to a mitzvah, that's going to be disqualified. By a korban, Rabotai, you cannot speak of an animal that is set aside for a korban that doesn't have kedushas korban on it. You cannot speak of an animal that has kedushas korban on it just by being an animal. Name. No kohen would ever just take a plain animal and put it on the mizbeach. He's crazy. That'd be nuts. That's shute chutz. Who knows what he wants to do? That's crazy. How does and what point in time does an animal become endowed with Kedushas Korban? At what point? When you declare it. Kriya Shame. Exact. In your house, in Tel Aviv, you can set aside an animal. This is for my Korban Chatz. There, Lishlom. So when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, even if the Mizbeach is already in a state of disrepair, in a state that it's Zochri initially, what happened to this animal as soon as you put it on the Mizbeach? As soon as you... It was a Korban, and what happened to it? It's disqualified. So in a Korban scenario, there is never a time period when you can say, you know what? This animal going on the Mizbeach was not really a Korban yet. That doesn't happen. Because in order to begin the process of allowing a Korban on the Mizbeach, before anything gets started, the owner has to dedicate the animal L'shem Korban. Whereas by a Hadas, you and me don't have to declare that this Hadas is going to be a Hadas Shal Mitzvah. You know, it doesn't need any declaration. Yom Tov comes, and Yom Tov now makes it into a Hadas Shal Mitzvah. Therefore, if the disqualification took place when? Before Yom Tov, the Gemara is now inclined to say, if shot mina, the yesh, the ein dichui etzol mitzvot, by dachui meyakara. That's what the Gemara says. Let's read it again. Ela lebasa de'agde. Must be that we're talking about that what? That it was after you tied it into the aguda. Says the Gemara, dachui meyakara. Tifshot mina the dachui meyakara lo heva dichui. Because the Mishnah says that if you reduce the berries and re-makshir the hadas, it's perfectly okay. Answers the Gemara, no. Lioilam basa da'agde. You're right. It's really talking about after he tied it to the what? To the aguda. Ukasavar eged hazmana ba'almahu. Tying it together is what the Gemara calls hazmana ba'alma. The hazmana ba'alma lav klumot. Hazmana ba'alma, I deliberately didn't translate it. And the reason why I didn't deliberately translate it, because there is a famous machloikis between Abaye and Rava about hazmana. And I'll give you the case which illustrates the machloikis. Somebody made tachrichin for a mace. Tachrichin. There are people I know who have made their own tachrichin. You know, when they reach 120, they want to be buried in their own tachrichin. The halacha is that big day hameis are asurin bahana. Any garment worn by a dead person, you are not permitted to derive benefit from. Those are the bigadim which a person dies in or is buried. So if you made tachrichin for somebody and put it on this dead person, and then you decided, yeah, you know what, I want to use a different set of tachrichin. Too bad. The original, you can switch it all you want, but the original tachrichin are asur bahana'a. The debate between Abai and Rava is, what happens if I didn't yet put it on the deceased, but I set it aside for a deceased? I made this garment specifically for a mace. Or another case. The halacha is that you're not allowed to put anything in your tefillin bag other than tefillin. Nothing. You're not allowed to put anything in your tefillin bag. You can't use it to carry around change for what? For tzedakah. In all probability, you can't even put a siddur in it. Because a tikshel tefillin has kedusha on it, and it's asur in all hana'a. Here is the case. You bought a tikshel tefillin, You plan to put your tefillin in it, but you have not yet done so. And you change your mind. So Abaye says, Hazmana Milsa. Every time you set something aside, Hazmana means to set something aside, for the use of a mitzvah, that is halachically significant. If it's designated for the mitzvah, it's as if it's been used. So the same thing, so the halacha by the mace is, once you make tachrichin, there are some hanach, even though no mace has ever worn it. Once you make a bag and plan to use it for what? For a pair of tefillin? You can't use it for anything else besides tefillin.
You can still some kedushas.
What?
Like you can still some.
Correct. Rava Omar Hazmana Lav Milsahi. Rava says, setting something aside is halachically insignificant. What generates the Isur Hana'a? The Hishtamshus, the use. So when you use tachrichin for a mace, then they become asamana. When you put a pair of tefillin in a bag, that becomes a tikshel tefillin. Our Gemara here uses a word which seems to remind you of that. Hazmana milsa, hazmana la milsa. And the Gemara is saying, ukasava, I would have thought, eged, hazmana ba'alma, hazmana ma'alma, maf klumu. You need to tell me the Gemara is entering the fray of Abai and Rava, and the conclusion would be that whether yesh dichui or ein dichui really depends on the machloikis between Abai and Rava. The Gemara doesn't say that. Because the Gemara would say that. The Gemara would tell us that what? That yes, this is dependent upon the machloikis, Abai and Rava. And the Gemara doesn't say it. So let's read Rashi, and Rashi will hopefully define for us what's happening here. Rashi will hopefully define for us what is happening here. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ella bust the two long Rashis. We're in the Rashi. Ella, we'll start with the Rashi Pshita. The Gemara asks that if you put the berry, the hadas with more berries in the aguda, before the aguda you cut off the berries, before you put it in the aguda, pshita. Mm-hmm. Everybody says it's okay.
Before
and
the yantif, or just whether he made the igud or not?
This is, he may only made the igud.
Is that before and the yantif, or is it different?
Before yantif. The assumption is before yantif. That's correct. Says the Gemara, pshita. Amai nifsule min my nifsele, lo min ha'asu yeshkan, shahare ne'egad behechsher, v'lo mishum dichu yeshkan, shahare lo kara shein mitzvah aleha b'dichu. If you cut the berries when what? Before you tied it in, what possible psul could it be? It can't be possible lo min ha'asui, because it hasn't been made yet. It can't be dichui. Why can't it be dichui? Because lo kara alea shein mitzvah. It has not yet been declared a mitzvah. It hasn't entered the tithe and the aguda. So it's just a piece of wood. Ela basa da'agde. Must be that it's talking about that when did he reduce the number of berries? After it was in the aguda. The ashme'inan haitana. And our Tana lets us know, Delulav misuka lo yalfinan lemifsele mishum min haatsui bipsul. So number one, I don't apply the halacha of tasav lemin asui. If you remember last week's shir, we suggested that one of the possibilities of understanding this sugya is the psul of tasav lemin asui. That by a sukkah, as I defined last week for you, the minute you put on the schach, that has to make it into a kosher sukkah. But you can't put the schach on, and it's still not kosher, and do an extraneous action, and automatically the sukkah is kosher. The same thing would happen here if I put the hadas into the aguda. It's supposed to become a kosher hadas the minute you put it in. But if it's possible when you put it in, and what action created this a kosher hadas? The fact that I snippied the berries off, that would have been a psul of ta'aseh v'lo menasui. So chidush number one is that the psul of kasav alayman asui does not apply. Because where do we limit it to? Only to sukkah. Velo yalfinan lulav bisukkah. We do not apply this psul of kasav alayman asui to lulav. It is limited only to sukkah. That's point number one, which the Rashi said. Again, I read it inside. The ashmein and haitan. The lulav misukkah lo yalfinan lemitzalei mishun min ha'asui b'psul. Miu mishum dichui hevelon lemitzalei. Mishum dichui, based on the halach of yesh dichui lemitzvah, I should have disqualified this hadas. Why? Shaharei nikra alav shem hoshana psula b'shas agidaso. When did this hadas become a hadas? When? When you put it into the aguda. And what status does it have with more berries than leaves? It's a pasul hadas. So now I should be able to prove from here, right? Says, and since the Mishnah allows you to cut off the berries after it's entered the aguda, shmamina, we should be able to prove from here that dichui meikara lav dichuyu. That dichui initially for a mitzvah is not considered a rejection. That if it was initially pasul, and then I repaired it by cutting the berries, it would be okay. V'nifshot mina palga di ivayilon yesh dichu yesel mitzvos o ein dichu. We should at least be able to resolve half the dilemma about yesh dichu, because the entire dilemma has two cases. The case of dichu meikara and the case of what? Nireh v'nitzcha v'nireh. At least from this Mishnah, we should be able to resolve half of it. Half of it. Namely, nifshot mehacha, we should be able to resolve from here, didachui meikara lo amrinin ba dehevedachui. However, velo hevedachui achake nirebiyom tov. Ma'achake nidche. Kol shenidche kodem yom tov, kori dochui meikara. So anything that has been rejected before yom tov started is now called dochui meikara. And at what point is it initially possible as soon as it got started? As soon as you made the agud. That's what I would have thought.
This is all before
yom tov?
I'm sorry.
This is all before yom tov. Erev yom tov. Answers the Gemara, no. Li'olam basa da'agde. Really what it's talking about after you tied it. But you still cannot resolve the issue. You cannot resolve the issue of yesh or ein dichoy. Ein agudaso kriyas shem lihios chal alav shem lulav pasul l'tchotz. The igud is halachically insignificant. It's halachically insignificant. If it's halachically insignificant, was this a hadas before Yom Tov started? No. It's not a hadas yet. Why is it not a hadas yet? Because the fact that you put it into the aguda is halachically insignificant. It's only preparation. It's enabling the Yom Tov to endow it when it's in what? In the aguda. But the mere fact that I put it in the aguda is not yet a mitzvah. If it's not yet an article of a mitzvah, has the article been ever rejected yet? Has the article of the mitzvah been rejected yet? No. So if the article of the mitzvah hasn't been rejected yet, we can't prove that if an article of a mitzvah has been rejected and repaired, that it's okay. No proof in this case. Because by the time Yom Tov arrived, which is the critical moment, it was automatically kosher already. So now let's read on. The Hilkach, afilu dochui meikara, ein kan ad shiyikadesh alav hayom. The odena b'psulo. The only time that we consider something dochui is if Yom Tov arrives, and then what? It's still possible. when Yom Tov arrives, Kevan de Matas Man Mitzvah, V'lo Chazi Mikri Dachli. But in relationship to what? Avol mikama hachi, but before that, lav dachu. Before Yom Tov, that's not considered if it's dachu. So what has the Gemara rejected thus far? That if you reduce it after it's in the Aguda, says the Mishnah, it's okay. But before Yom Tov. But before Yom Tov.
Also rejecting the Igud is as mana.
Correct. Correct. That Igud is worthless. Correct.
No, maybe because it's for Yom Tov.
So then why don't we say that why doesn't the Gemara say Hanicha l'Rabba who holds Hazmana lav Milsa, but Elulahaye who holds Hazmana Milsa, the Igud should be okay because I set it aside just as what by dedicating what? A kiss. A tefillin bag, even though you don't put in the tefillin. Just as making a pair of what? Of the tachlichen before the mace wears them. Why doesn't the Gemara bring in a bayin rava of the famous machloik? So the Rav suggested that the reason is as follows. That the machloikis between rava and abayin apparently is limited only to where there is an isur of hishtamshis. Only to isurim. When is there a debate whether the preparation, the dedication, is halakhically significant or not? Is where there is an isur to use the iron. So when you're dealing with isurin, Abaye feels the isur is created when? As soon as you have designated. Rava says the isur generates only when you use it. But in any case where there is no isur of use, Abaye and Rava don't argue. To create a chetze shal mitzvah, Abaye and Rava have no debate. Both of them agreed at what? That making a chetze shal mitzvah is halakhically insignificant. Halakhically insignificant. So I can make a shofar and it has no halakhic status of a shofar. I can bake a piece of matzah, it has no status as a piece of matzah. I can make a talis, and it has no halakhic status as a talus. Because a talus doesn't have isurei anav. None whatsoever. So you can make a talus, halakhically, it's worthless until you use it. The mere fact that you intend to use it as a mitzvah is halakhically insignificant. The fact that you intend to use this piece of matzah is halakhically insignificant. The fact you intend to use this menorah is halakhically insignificant. When is the debate between Abaye and Rava? When the item is going to generate isurin for personal use. There Abaye says intention to use that item generates the isur. And Rava says no. The intention is insufficient. It requires the actual use itself. But in relationship to a mitzvah, apparently it has absolutely no halakhic application whatsoever. That's what the Gemara says. And Tosfos, if you'll just take a quick look at the Tosfos, Tifshot Minah Dachli Meikara Lo Hever Dachli, Tosfos emphasizes that this Hava Minah, the split between Dachli Meikara and Nirav Nitcha, is only to be suggested by where? By mitzvos. But as I said before, do not entertain that distinction by korban. L'inyan mitzvos dafka, ki the pirashti leil. But by korban, under all circumstances, the halacha is, under those circumstances, if the halacha of dichui applies to korban, it applies to both cases. whether the Mizbeach was damaged before the Korban was put on, or the Mizbeach was damaged after the Korban was placed on the Mizbeach. After the Mizbeach was placed. Good. Yeah. Okay, let me get right there. The Mishnah says, Ein mimatin b'yom tov. That you are not permitted to go ahead and what? Reduce the number of berries on Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks, Ha avar v'loktan mai? What happens if you did? You didn't listen to the rabbis. And you went ahead and reduced the berries. So what will be the halacha if you did so? Answers to Gemara, kosher. The assumption is now that what? That it would be kosher. Now, the ashkor emas. One second. When did the berries become black so that if you cut them on Yom Tov, it's okay? When did they become black? Apparently, like somebody suggested earlier, the berries go through different changes. They might start as green, turn to red, and come to black. When did these berries become black? The Ashkor Emas. And then what does he do to them? What is he going to do? He's going to cut them off.
After Yom Tov.
When Yom Tov starts. So let's see when it became black. If you would like to suggest that the berries were black already yesterday on Erev Yom Tov, and he did nothing about it. When did he cut the berries? On Yom Tov itself. So that's Dochui Meikara. So what happened as sundown took place on the night of Yom Tov? What status on Yom Tov did this Hadaf have? It was possible. It had black berries as Yom Tov started. Now the Mishnah says if you cut them off on Yom Tov, that's okay. So what should I be able to resolve? Tif showed mina that dochui meikara delo heve dochui. We should be able to resolve from here that if a hadas was puzzle as Yom Tov started, it's definitely not puzzle, as long as you corrected it. Because this hadas started in a minute, in a state of psul. Elulav, if you don't want to come to that conclusion, the ashkar b'Yom Tov. When did the berries become black? On Yom Tov. So here's what happened. When sundown arrived of Yom Tov night, what color were the berries?
Green,
perfect green. So when Yom Tov starts, this Hadas is perfectly okay. Then what happened? They became black. So what happens after these berries turn black? What happened to this Kasher Hadas? Now became possible. What happens after we cut off those berries? It became kosher. So that's the case of what? Nireh v'nitchahu. Shamot mina, we should learn from here that nireh v'nidche choze v'nireh, that according to the Mishnah, if you have a hadas that is kosher, because it was green, it became pasul because they turned black. If you remove the berries and the Mishnah says it's okay, you should be able to conclude from here that what? That nireh v'nidche v'nireh is kosher. Answers the Gemara line. Lioilam the Ashkar Meikara. Really is when did it become black? When did the grapes become black? On Erev Yom Tov. So, is Dachui Meikara the Lo Heved Dachui Tifshot Mina? The fact that if it was rejected initially and then acceptable, I can prove from this case. That is okay. I am willing to accept that as proof positive. That if something was possible on Erev Yom Tov, because the berries were black. And what did you do on Yom Tov? You cut off the berries, I'm willing to accept it. So even though this Hadas was rejected when Yom Tov started, because it was black, when I repair it by removing the berries, it's okay. Avol nire v'nitche choze v'nire lo tifshol. But I can't prove this Mishnah from this Mishnah, the other case. That if it was suitable when Yom Tov started, and then it became black, and then I repaired it by cutting off the berries, that I can't prove from this Mishnah. Because the case of the Mishnah is talking about that it was black from the very beginning. So the Gemara is willing to tolerate from here that in relationship to mitzvot, there indeed will be a split decision. That in relationship to dochui me'ikara, we will say, ein dichui eitzo mitzvot. But in relationship to nireh, the nitcha, the nireh, it is quite possible, yesh dichui eitzo mitzvot. Eitzo mitzvot. We'll stop here, and then we'll take next week, Tana Rabbanan Ein Mima'atim B'Yom Tov, and get to the Machloikis, which Tosis will discuss, about Psik Reshe D'Lo Nichalei. Psik Reshe D'Lo Nichalei. And Rab Chaim's Chidush Fantasti. Chidush Fantasti. And the Rav's willingness to rely on grandfather Rab Chaim against the Shulchan Aruch. Against the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll continue with this, because Tosis will talk about it.